F4, F5. Okay, good. Yeah, good. Slideshow. Okay. You're seeing all my secrets here. Anyway, enough of the sunglasses. We also had strobe lights and Jello Biafra, a lesser known actor at the time, was the voiceover for what has turned out to be a prescient look at Big Brother today. And I've always been very surprised to find myself invited back every year. And on Saturday, I'll do spying improv. And since a lot of you are new, hopefully that'll be fun. So what I'm going to do now is give you a professional briefing, and then I'll answer any questions you have. I apologize for being late. I was in the room, and suddenly realized I didn't have cufflinks. But I had a plastic bag. So several efforts later, I now have cufflinks. Anyway, it's absolutely nuts. This briefing is online. Actually, WAC is the older version of the briefing. I've changed this and I've posted it to the web. And there's if you go in press releases, you'll see the direct link. I've updated it and I can't do it with this lousy Verizon broadband. So I will do it when I get back. But this will be posted with the new slides shortly. These are other references that are important. There are five opens that matter to us. Free open source software, however you want to define it. I read Stallman's book. I really respect him as one of the original hackers. Shirley Turkle did a great book on computers as my second self, Astronauts at the Edge of the Envelope. And I think one of the reasons Emmanuel lets me come back is because my first and instinctive soundbite was hackers are a national resource. They are not a threat. They're like astronauts pushing the edge of the envelope. This society is clueless. And by the way, my son is in the audience. And if anyone can identify him by Saturday, I'll give you a prize. I promise you he doesn't look like this. But open source software, open source intelligence or collective intelligence, open spectrum. It's nuts to be doing frequency allocation these days. It's nuts to be charging politicians for airtime on airwaves owned by the people. So we got to move forward there. And then finally, open access copyright and open societies. So these last things here, particularly basic, are things that will help you. We are in a six-front war of our own making. And I'm not going to go into all the details. We don't have a lot of time. I am the number one Amazon reviewer for nonfiction. There are plenty of books documenting what is either the idiocy of the Bush administration or its brilliance in doing everything in its own interest and against the people's interest. Either way, we lose. We have lost the moral high ground, and Will and Ariel Durant said in the Lessons of History that morality is a strategic factor of incalculable proportions. Now, there are a number of books that are vastly sufficient to indict, if not convict, but certainly to indict Dick Cheney for high crimes and misdemeanors. He was given the mandate for terrorism and intelligence on day one of the first Bush term, and he blew them off. The same month that Wired magazine had a cover story on an alternative two-way energy grid, Dick Cheney was meeting secretly with Enron and Exxon to discuss what turned out to be false expectations of the Caspian area reserves and false expectations of Iraqis' opportunities. We've spent $500 billion on this war. For $500 billion, I could have given every one of the poor people on the planet, the 5 billion poor people, a $50 cell phone and changed the planet forever. So one of the things I do with this slide, and these threats, by the way, on the side, are threats that have been identified by the high-level threat panel of the United Nations, which had Lieutenant General Dr. Brent Scowcroft as the American member. These are the threats that impact on us today and in the future. And your administration is spending all of its time and money on threats number 8 and 9, and it's not serious about threats 8 and 9. It simply wants them as excuses, as pretexts for war, as Jim Bamford put it in his book, and as pretexts for unlimited authority to make the law and interpret the law, which is not part of the constitutional prerogatives of the executive. Okay? I'm not sure Bush is as much of a puppet as some people think. But I will absolutely tell you hands down, Dick Cheney's the guy that needs to be tarred and feathered and run out of town. So this puts it in perspective. In grand strategy terms, Al-Qaeda is zip. We have lost it on debt, on water, on security, on energy, on education. We are not taking care with all these other threats. Unfortunately, and this is a direct quote, you can't fix stupid. But I caution you, Dick Cheney is not stupid. Dick Cheney is an incredibly intelligent war criminal. He is as good as it gets at picking the pocket of the public and having you sleep through it. Not you guys, but all the pinheads that don't know enough to elect pinheads. Okay, which is how America is voting these days. I'm a little upset about that. So this is a brief in a nutshell. We'll focus on the $60 billion a year, and I just started picking a fight with two press releases yesterday. After 18 years, I am this far from getting a national open source agency funded at $3 billion a year. Oh, wait. It's a dogfight between the CIA, which wants the open source center of menopausal grandmothers and young kids in button-down shirts from Phoebus to become the open source agency, or me, I want it to be a sister agency to the Broadcasting Board of Governors, which manages the Voice of America and other public diplomacy that is largely uninformed by any grasp of reality, which is what the open source agency is supposed to do. So there will be a bill coming up through the House that puts the open source agency under the Director of National Intelligence, and there will be a bill coming up from the Senate that says, no way, Jose. And I don't know if I will win. If I win, it's good. If I lose, I have to start making money instead of campaigning for this. We're spending $600 billion a year for a heavy metal military that is completely unsuited to reality. Condi Rice is, I am sorry, a blonde bimbo in disguise. Okay? I just can't believe it. She's a placeholder for nothing. Okay? The Department of State is building fortresses that shut the rest of the world out. People no longer go to U.S. information centers because the draconian measures of security make them feel like the criminals they obviously must be. I have good friends in Scotland Yard and elsewhere. And the bottom line is, when you're doing this kind of stuff, you don't wear sunglasses, you don't wear armor, you don't run around in massive convoys. You get out there with candy and water and food and medicine, and you become part of the community. Not for Rumsfeld. What? Well, hearts and minds, but with a little bit of brain power. I will tell you, I don't have any comment on Donald Rumsfeld, but I urge you to read my review of 1% Doctrine, in which Rumsfeld is quoted as saying, any win by CIA is a loss for DOD, and former Vice President Nelson Rockefeller is quoted as saying Rumsfeld was beneath contempt. Now, the same book tells you that Dick Cheney has experimented ever since President Ford with not informing the President of the United States when ordering an action in his name. There is a clear and documented record of Dick Cheney usurping the power of the presidency across multiple presidencies. Now, we're not getting him impeached right now because we got a bunch of butt-kissing Republicans, and I'm a moderate Republican, but these Republicans are all trapped in what's called the party line. Read a book by Congressman Tom Coburn called Breach of Trust, How Washington Turns Outsiders into Insiders. There are two kinds of corruption in Washington. One is money, and the other is party line voting. You want a committee office, you want a nice office with a window, you vote the party line no matter what it means to your constituents. Okay, then justice. FBI is moronic. And by the way, Agent Steele is not me. That's the guy missing one leg that they tried to arrest me for in Chicago a while ago. I was naked at the time. I'd just come in from Australia. They quickly figured out I had both legs. Smart guys, these young agents. And a cheerleader. National security writ large. This is about the nurture and use of all sources of power. It's about educated and engaged citizenry. It's about competent intelligence. Now, CIA has done a couple of things right. We actually had bin Laden tracked for 4 days. Rumsfeld gave Pakistan an air corridor. Cy Hirsch reported this in the New Yorker. I really like Cy. Rumsfeld gave them an air corridor ostensibly to remove a few of their officers. And they flew out 3,000 Taliban. Now, if they asked me for something, like, I say, hey, tell you what, tell them to wrap white sheets around their heads and we'll try not to kill them on our way in. And then we'll bring them back to you. So you have to ask yourself, is Rumsfeld stupid or was this part of the plan to keep al-Qaeda alive as a threat that could be built on? And then bin Laden, who is a man of enormous character, chose not to fly out that way. He chose to walk out. And CIA tracked him for 4 days. If you read Jawbreaker and First In, these are books by credible officers. I believe them. The Pentagon refused to put a battalion of Rangers in his path. Again, are we stupid, gutless, or is this part of the plan? Morally sound diplomacy is not ideological fantasy land. General Tony Zinni was called a traitor by this White House for bringing up all of the things he has learned, had learned as commander of Central Command. Moral sound capitalism, as opposed to predatory capitalism. Balanced defense, coherent homeland security, balanced budget. We are importing poverty, exporting jobs. Who loses? Us. This is what we know about the world. And if you don't believe me, let me quote George Tenet in a meeting with all of the Allied intelligence chiefs when he said, we don't know shit. Duh. This is what we get. It gets better. We don't put it all together anywhere. There is no place in the U.S. government where everything we know comes together. There's not even any place in the U.S. government where everything that's secret comes together. Now, it's my judgment, as the open source intelligence pioneer, not free, you pay for it, but not nearly as much as expensive secret satellites. It's my judgment that in the larger scheme of things, global sustainable strategy, prosperity, bringing up the $5 billion at the bottom of the pyramid, I absolutely agree with C.K. Prahalad. If we unleash their entrepreneurial spirits and give them comms devices, the world will never be the same. 86% of what we need to know about the world in order to be an effective nation is not secret. Unfortunately, a lot of it is not in English, not online, and not known to any asshole in Washington. So we have a disconnect here. Only they don't think it's a disconnect because the White House is fond of saying, oh, you must be one of those reality-based people. We make our own reality with ideological fantasy as the foundation. Okay, and looting as the objective. This is my personal estimate of where we stand today in relation to all of these threats and policies. And that's without considering the negative implications for America of the big dogs on the other side. This is your politician's worst nightmare. Yes?
I'm sorry, could you explain
the color-coding? Really, really bad. We'll come back to it. Now, we'll come back to it. That's what's called an informed judgment. This is reality. Your government is spending $60 billion a year, 95% of the cost, on what is arguably, at best, 20% of the value. We are spending less than $600 million, and in focus terms with the Foreign Broadcast Information Service, the new $20 million a year, this is pissant stuff, $20 million a year for the large-scale Internet Exploitation Initiative, we're talking here $250 million of focused open-source intelligence dollars. This doesn't count research and all that other generic stuff. What's wrong with this picture? $60 billion for the 5% we can steal? Less than $600 million for the 95% we really need to know? I'm changing the rules of the game, but it's hard going. We're in year 18 of a 25-year dogfight. I have a small chance of winning. The intelligence community today, to monitor and predict the outcome of a baseball game, will use clandestine human intelligence to bribe one or two of the ball players out of 22 to either drop the ball or catch the ball at any given moment. They're agents of influence. The signals intelligence community will put a bug in the dugout and try and overhear the coach giving instructions. The imagery intelligence community will take a picture of the ball field every 3 days and try and call the game that way. The measurements and signatures community will try and sniff the ball and the direction it's going, and when it doesn't work, will ask for $10 billion more. The open source intelligence community says, "Yo, dudes, catch the ball, he's out, and we pay." It's about harnessing the distributed intelligence of the whole earth. I know you understand this. People in Washington are very afraid of this idea, if they bother to think about it. This, by the way, is the Assistant Deputy Director of Intelligence for Open Source. Lipstick on the pig. Okay, we have two differing views of OSINT. His view is he wants to be a good boy and fit in with the bureaucracy and have his office perks. Unfortunately, he has no program authority. He has no money to spend other than $5 million a year on miscellaneous, and he has no permanent staff. He's dog meat. He is lip service. My view is that we need to create a robust open source intelligence community outside of the government. My second book, The New Craft of Intelligence, is available at Amazon, and it basically focuses on the obvious. Maybe it's obvious to you and me, but it's not obvious to the spies. And I've been a spy, and I know all those problems. Lessons of history. Bush did not understand 3 months into the war in Iraq that there were Sunnis and Shiites, and that the majority liked Iran. And in this book I just read, The End of Iraq, Ahmed Shalabi's role cannot be understated. The man was a masterful manipulator. I believe he was an agent of influence for Iran. I believe that Iran has run circles around us. And I believe, actually, that Iran should be much more respected by the United States of America. We tend to confuse nationalism and a desire for alternative energy with conspiracy theories and communism and all this other stuff. Now, I'm not at all convinced that Iran is a major threat to the United States of America, but there are a number of lunatics here in New York City who forget that the CIA ran a coup in Iran against the will of the people. And we're now paying for that, as we're paying for it in many other places. Global coverage, there's no one agency, no one country that can see all information in all languages all the time, which is my third book. And we have to do a burden-sharing thing. There are 1,400 Middle Eastern experts in the United States of America. Washington talks to about 14 of them. 1,400, 14. Why? Well, these 14 are white. They're in Washington. They have clearances. They maybe worked in the intelligence community previously. Okay? Believe it or not, when a CIA analyst tries to call people in the country they're responsible for, they are investigated by the CIA security officers with high school educations that got promoted after 20 years of checking safes at night. Okay? This is seriously poor stuff. And then we still need spies in secrecy for things like transnational criminal gangs and so forth. You can actually eliminate most fraud, waste, and abuse with statistical analysis. Okay, we have one fellow that discovered $74 million in crop fraud for a $4 million package of looking. I have two other guys I don't own them, I just know them. Two other guys found $50 billion a year in import-export tax avoidance fraud. This is like $25 rocket engines going to China and $3,000 pencils coming in from China. This is advanced money laundering. And oh, by the way, a pound of coffee from Colombia actually weighs between 1.25 and 1.5 pounds. Okay, so we need to go toward a national intelligence endeavor that has shared unclassified information. It has a help desk that shares best practices, best prices. It has primary research and experts on demand strategic forecasting. So this is it. I'm going to try and put this on my website as a model real soon. Virtual library, distance learning, expert form. I had a bad experience with Wikipedia the other day. It turns out that for every 10 intelligent people, there are 100 morons that like to destroy shit. And so I've kind of given up on them, although I'm going to go to Boston and try and learn a little bit more about it. It's my personal view that everybody should be allowed to post, but only certified masters should be allowed to destroy. And I think that's a good balance. Everyone can be heard, and then you clean up the system, and you don't have people doing collateral damage in there. This is the real military budget, the large one, versus the false military budget. You are being completely deceived and diseased by your government, which doesn't want you to know. The saddest thing in my life in all the airports I go through is seeing all the amputees. This government is concealing the tens of thousands of amputees that are coming out of Iraq. And I will tell you that after Gulf War I, we had over 260,000 disabled veterans from the combination of uranium and chemical brew and so forth. The costs of this war to America over the long term are estimated at between $2 and $3 trillion. And oh, by the way, we have $40 trillion of unfunded future obligations we already know about. My wife calls this my gloom and doom speech. This is nuts. We are spending vastly more than the next 20 people, next 20 nations on military. We're spending next to nothing on diplomacy. We're spending next to nothing on home front. DHS, the Department of Homeland Security, is a massive, humongous, fucked up failure. Okay? These guys give the combination of pork and idiocy new meaning. Okay? It is unbelievable. We have a military heavy metal, and we don't have, as Ralph Peters says in his new book, Never Give Up the Fight, we don't have enough truck drivers. We don't have enough infantry guys. And Peters says, we've outsourced so much of our military that we've outsourced our honor. And I believe that. Iraq has been a war profiteering loot fest. And Paul Bremer cannot account for 18 of the $20 billion he was given to work with. This is seriously decrepit corruption on a daily basis that no one's being held accountable for. We don't have enough humans. We don't have enough state and local intelligence. We don't have enough public health and water. Tuberculosis is back with a vengeance in the United States of America. Okay? This is serious stuff. This is reality. These are the ethnic fault lines. People weep and moan over Darfur. Well, what about the other 17 genocides going on right now, today? I had the Director General of the Red Cross speak for me back in 94. He says, we can't rely on the media. They have the attention span of one war at a time. And if I see Christine Apapupu, I'm going to throw my cookies again. It's just, I mean, this is, CNN is moronic. There are 18 genocide campaigns going on today, including one in Russia, two in Russia, and one in China. In Russia, it's the Tatars and the Chechens. The next war is going to be over water. This was a stupid war that should not have been fought. Ostensibly a war over energy, it's actually a war over power and wealth. It's a war between classes. I recommend to you the book on the class war. It turns out the American elites have bought all the elites in the countries they care about, and the elites are essentially selling out their publics, including the American public. And they're getting away with it because outside of you and a few others, no one is paying attention. This still hasn't hit Joe and Jane six-pack in their beer budget. Okay? So we have a ways to go. But this is reality. We're running out of water. The Mojave Desert and India are dropping a meter every year. 2,000 farmers a year are committing suicide in India over drought and debt and the inability. I think that's a pretty high number. 2,000 a year. Okay? Las Vegas is going to burp one day and be out of water, and it is going to be a colossal real estate disaster. Meanwhile, Los Angeles is trying to buy the Mojave Desert Aquifer, and the people who live above it have figured this out, and they're fighting it. But the reality is there are no adults in this country willing to say, hey, time out. We need water desalination plants and a whole bunch of other things. These are the global threats to our local survival. Refugees in 32 countries, complex emergencies, that's failed states. Refugees in the millions across 66 countries. Starvation in the millions across 33 countries. Modern plagues, with India being a particularly pestilent place. Modern Plagues in 59 Countries and Rising. Laurie Garrett from the New York Times wrote an excellent book called Betrayal of Trust, The Global Collapse of Public Health. The Soviets have been doing level 4 antibiotics throughout the Cold War. That translates into hookers in Eastern Europe going to East German businessmen, going to Chicago, going to American hookers, coming soon to a home near you with penicillin-resistant everything. Okay? You're 3 degrees of separation from being totally fucked. And then water and stuff. Now, if you crosswalk the U.S. budget, particularly the Pentagon budget, against the real world threat, you figure out that the Pentagon budget, $600 billion, is relevant to 10% of the threats. Now, a friend of mine, Joe Markowitz, and some other really smart people wrote a Defense Science Board study called Transitions to and from Hostilities, and we've recently had a decision signed by the Secretary, which is called Defense Directive 3000.cc, and it places operations other than war, including humanitarian assistance, on an equal plane with war operations. Now, this is a culture shift, because as recently as 4 years ago, the Joint Chiefs of Staff said real men don't do operations other than war. General Zinni was not one of those who believed that. General Zinni is a pioneer, and I hope that one day he is Secretary of Defense or Secretary of State. He is a really smart person, and he understands that security and peace are about relationships at the individual level. And we have so thoroughly screwed that up over the years that it's incomprehensible. State versus nation, interethnic, tribal, gang wars, genocide, decolonization, these are the threats. So what does a president do? A president exists to do trade-off decisions. Well, I don't think it's working out that way. There are a number of books, including Price of Loyalty, that essentially say that Dick Cheney closed down the policy process in the U.S. government when he became vice president. He and Don Rumsfeld cut out all of the bureaucratic people, good people, trapped in a bad system, who had knowledge that was useful. And Cheney essentially made decisions on behalf of the president with no accountability, with a complete and reckless disregard for facts, for reality, and in a manner that assuredly, egregiously, against the national interest. But 100 million will buy you a small Navy platform or a ground unit, 1,000 diplomats, 10,000 Peace Corps volunteers, or 100,000 meters of cubic meters of desalinated water, or 1 day of war over water. These are trade-off decisions. I believe $1 trillion a year is not being leveraged. Between interest on the debt, unnecessary military systems, unnecessary secret satellites, and a wide variety of subsidies and tax loopholes, I can find the next president $500 billion a year in additional revenue for social safety network programs. That is a no-bullshit statement. Now, for lack of good economic intelligence and counterintelligence and ethics at the top, we are foregoing an additional $500 billion a year in tax on revenue, import pricing, insurance fraud, lost revenues from bandwidth and federally controlled properties, and so forth. We're not out of money. We're a rich country with a very corrupt and impoverished leadership. And I crucified the Democrats, who are just as corrupt but more inept than the Republicans. Both of these political parties are not serving your best interests. We've had a policy intelligence failure. But Jello Biafra isn't the answer either. He can, however, be Minister of Culture in my government. You're welcome. I heard what you said about me 2 years ago. We've had a massive failure. This matters. Thomas Jefferson said a nation's best defense is an educated citizen. So what do we have here? We have an industrial school system that beats the creativity out of kids by the time they're in the fourth grade. Okay. We got to fix that. And one of the reasons I brought my son here is because he figured out how to get 600 SATs and Ds without homework while sleeping or drawing in class. And this disturbed me, but I'm sympathetic. You guys have helped me understand that. Now, I'm going to go through these at blinding speed. I have reviewed over 750 books, 720 books, whatever the number is, at Amazon. And you can go look at my reviews. You can find my master review sheet. You can use my lists. 2 hours and a good bottle of wine, you can get a free graduate education in global reality. Okay? So I'm just going to go through this really quick. For the PhD, it has to be a bottle of vodka. Okay. All right. Peace operations. Humanitarian assistance. We're creating black markets. Anarchy. Genocide. Resource wars. Water. Totally fucked. Oceans. Really bad. We're using our oceans as economic cesspools. That's nuts, because it turns out the oceans are more important than the Amazon for our future. Industrialized poison. We're based on chlorine. Globalized Easy, excellent book. Modern strategy. Technology is not a substitute for strategy, and time is the one thing you can't buy or replace. We've just screwed this country over for 8 years, in part because Al Gore didn't have the balls to listen to Greg Pabst and go to the mat on the fact that Florida was 35 to 50,000 disenfranchised blacks, and that took the election. And then Karl Rove repeated it in Ohio in 12 districts in 2004. Let me tell you what the bottom line is. The Republicans know how to steal close elections. If the next election isn't a multi-party landslide, we're toast. And I'll finish with that in a few minutes. Brzezinski has some good ideas. Failure of empire, strategic cultures, resistance. This is Cheney all over. Of complexity. Most policymakers are clueless. Until 9/11, we had congressmen and senators saying, I don't need a passport because nothing that happens outside the United States matters to my constituents. Okay? Symbolic friction. Revolutions are not technical, they're about the mind. You know that better than most. The best dollar return on investment is on education and women overseas. You educate the women, they stop putting up with shit from the men. The men do less drinking. There's more productivity. It is absolutely an indisputable fact that women are the secret weapon for the future. We need a police force. When the United Nations puts together a police force, every loser from Nigeria to Niger shows up, and these guys can't drive a car and they can't read and write. Okay? So it's really quite ridiculous. We need constabulary forces. These are completely different. Manhunts. Our intelligence community cannot find, fix, and follow an individual. White House does not listen to early warning. Army doesn't do mountains. Air Force needs 24-hour notice to change a bomb load on an airplane. Hello? All right, holistic strategy. You have to do interagency holistic strategy. I will tell you, right now, Iraq is as successful as it is because our troops are bleeding on the ground and giving their blood and their guts to try and make a success out of a really shitty situation. And I will tell you that outside of the U.S. military, there isn't another motherfucking agency in this government that is doing their job. The rest of the U.S. government is out to lunch. State isn't doing its job. Commerce, Treasury aren't doing their job. These people are coming in at 9:30 in the morning. They're taking an hour and a half lunch breaks. They're going home at 5 o'clock. We are not in a state of war. We are in a state of comatose, apathetic ignorance. And you guys are letting it happen. Okay? This is the military has been betrayed by the rest of the government, and this is Dick Cheney's will. He's not really interested in winning in Iraq. Never underestimate the enemy. I was in Vietnam. They had tunnels going for miles. They had a little guy squatting on his heels, listening, spoke English, to the G3 in Benoit. Okay? They had 5,000 SIGINT people. We have loudmouth generals that don't want to walk to a secure telephone. Okay? The North Vietnamese, with a little help from the Russians, waxed our ass in terms of listening in, including digging tunnels right up under the headquarters and having a guy sitting there listening. Now, this is our home front weakness. It's not pretty. One of the things bin Laden, who, by the way, I believe is a very reasoned enemy. 9/11 was intended to be a nuclear event in the sense of a plane going into a nuclear thing, and they pulled back from that because they were afraid of its getting out of control. That is a measured, thoughtful enemy. But bin Laden knows he doesn't have to attack the United States to grab us by the gonads and make it hurt. All he has to do is put 10 bombs in Nigeria, Saudi Arabia, and Venezuela and drive the price of oil to $200 a barrel. This isn't hard. This is the new strategy we need. I'll go very fast on this. Basically, we need to redirect funds in a massive way toward peace. And I had a couple of speakers on the Department of Peace, and I've had a wonderful New York contingent come to corrupt the minds of my Washington people, and it's been fun. But the reality is Colin Powell gave it up. I've always admired Colin Powell, but I have to tell you, I think he Uncle Tommed himself to the Bush administration. And he really let us down. He should have stood up and said, God damn it, this is bullshit, I resign. And he should have crucified Bush and Cheney in the first administration. And I'm very sad that he didn't do that, because I had a vision of Colin Powell getting $100 billion with which to do peace. And there was no finer man on the planet qualified to do peace than Colin Powell. And maybe he will come back, but I think he has lost an enormous mantle that he once held. Now, getting into strategy. The White House is right back where John Kennedy was in the Cuban Missile Crisis. The president listens to three or four bubbas who are trusted because they are true blue proven Republicans. In Iraq, the primary criteria for getting an appointment to go to Iraq and be part of the provisional government was to be a foolproof Republican, not to actually know anything. And six young people, and I mean young, ended up running the $13 billion Iraqi budget, and they were comparing notes, and they figured out that the reason they had gotten a call and been hired sight unseen over the phone was because they had all posted resumes at the Heritage Foundation. So for all of you looking for a job in the next 2 years, go post a resume on the Heritage Foundation, and you'll be offered a chance to go screw up some country. We need a Director General for National Policy. This National Security Council is stupid. Okay, it is so far removed from the realities of balancing economics and security and so forth. We need a Director General for National Intelligence who sits on top of a Director for Classified Intelligence and a Director for Public Intelligence. And I don't have a lot of power. I'm just one man with one paycheck. But I am going to try and make this open source agency a litmus test for Congress. Fund public intelligence or be bounced by the public. And I think there is a mood in America to bounce the incumbents, both Democratic and Republican. And I'm really looking forward to seeing how that goes. We need a Director General for Global Strategy. America has no strategy. Now, Dick Cheney has a strategy. Dick Cheney's a smart man. Dick Cheney really understands what he's doing. However, what he may not understand is that no gated community is going to keep him safe 10 years down the road. He may not quite get that. I think you will see retrospective war criminal indictments. I think you will see retrospective indictments, for example, of the senators who knew that peak oil was coming in 1975, 1979, and decided to cover it up because they wanted to continue easy elections on low gas prices and they wanted to keep the money from Exxon coming. I think we need to do retrospective historical truth and reconciliation commissions, and I think we need to massively scar some people in the public eye in the next 5 to 10 years in order to keep the rest of them honest from now on. The public now has a digital memory. This is really important. This is what I would do with the Director General of Global Strategy. And the point I want to make to you is that Washington is a very badly managed crisis response organization. It doesn't do forward thinking. It doesn't really work on alliances and relationships. It doesn't look at the trade-offs between those 10 threats that the United Nations has so ably identified. You reduce poverty, you reduce disease, you reduce crime. You increase water availability, you reduce poverty, disease, crime. Okay, this is all connected. You know this as well as anyone. It's a network system. Washington doesn't work on the basis of networks. It works on the basis of how much cash has been paid to do Mickey Mouse copyright legislation or whatever. Okay? So Washington right now is owned by corporations, not by the people. Even if you are elected by the people, the day you get into office, you are bought by your party for the party line. You want that nice office, you're going to have to vote the party line. Or by special interests. So we need governance reform, and I'll end with my proposals. I believe, I wish, I pray, and I realize it might be idealistic and unrealistic. I would like to see someone like Mark Warner, a Democrat, offer Susan Collins, a Republican from the Northeast, the vice presidency. I'd like to see them identify a coalition cabinet in advance that is ably represented by the Greens, the Reforms, the Libertarians, the Biafrans, and so forth. And I want them to put this out before 2006. I want them to say, these five moderate Republicans are good Republicans. We want to keep them. These five Democrats are bad Democrats. We want to get rid of them. And we swear to you, 2008 is about electoral reform. None of these other issues matter. The Democrats cannot beat the Republicans in a dog-on-dog, issue-on-issue contest. They can't do it. The only dog-catcher issue in America today is electoral reform. If you go for electoral reform and you get a multi-party landslide, Rove can't steal the election, you get the people back in power, everything else starts to make sense. So, these are Ralph Nader-ish reforms. League of Women Voters was kicked out of the presidential debate process to bar third, fourth, and fifth parties from that process. Okay? So we need to get our priorities straight. First, be strong at home. Attacking Iraq was idiocy. What Paul Bremer did with his first two decisions was decide he knew more about managing Iraq than anybody else. And he basically took over the country, and then he disbanded hundreds of thousands of pissed off guys with guns. Okay, against the best advice, and don't get me wrong here, I think the military is a bright, shining light in our country, against the best advice of Army generals. So strong America through common sense. Now, these four reforms are all connected. Electoral reform, intelligence reform, get a grip on reality, no longer lie to the public. Then national security reform, start spending our money in the right ways, and then governance reform. And I don't know where you start, but somehow all of these things need to catalyze. I've created a small website as a non-rival Citizens Party. It's not going to go anywhere. I mean, this country is, it needs several more Katrinas and 9/11s before it's going to wake up. But the idea here is we need a non-rival party with a moderate Republican wing, a conservative Democrat wing, all these other guys, and we have to commit ourselves to one thing, to electing individuals who will forego campaign contributions and who will forego party line directives on how they vote. And we need to keep a close string on them and pull them back. That website is www.citizens-party.org. It's just a few basic documents. It's the germ of an idea. I will speak for sushi anytime, anywhere. Thank you. Five minutes for questions. On all questions to the mic, please. By the way, this is the other hackers organization, Silicon Valley Hackers Think. I'm an elected member out there, and it's fun. Silicon, whatever. You know, those guys.
I'd like to get your opinion on the recent wholesale surveillance of American citizens, contrary to law.
Yeah. Well, a couple things about that. Number one, I think that they had good intentions. There's a difference between the president's grotesque, deliberate decision to ignore the FISA laws and to exceed his authority, and the professional intent of NSA to actually try and do pattern analysis and get useful stuff. But the other thing you have to remember is that NSA is still in the 1970s. 80% of their stuff is offline, you know, the old magnetic tapes. It's not really easy to do good stuff here. And last but not least, SAIC massively screwed up Trailblazers, so NSA hasn't made any progress in the last 4 years. Yes, sir.
Your comment. How does Gates and Buffett fit in on this?
That's a very interesting question. I think Gates and Buffett are doing what smart rich guys do. They're hunkering down and staying the hell out of it. Now, Google.org with Larry Brilliant, that's something else. Larry Brilliant had a really good week. He got the TED Prize for the visionary, and then he got the job as director of Google.org to spend more than 1 billion, 1% of Google's annual income on doing good. And Larry Brilliant's number one priority is the global public health intelligence, network. And I've got a letter out to him. If any of you know Larry Google, please tell him I am not a lunatic. I would like to help him. Because what we need is a public intelligence network that no government can suborn. Okay? And it has to be in your face. Yes, sir?
You show various...
Lift that up so you don't have to stoop. You're in control here. Push the thing down over there. Okay, even better.
Fine.
All right.
You show various nice charts and figures about how fucked we are. What I ask is, what is your belief about using technology in addition to social change to correct some of these problems?
Open technology works. Technology is not a substitute for thinking. What we have right now is a system that is biased. I mean, I read Stalin's book this morning, and it's a good book. And the bottom line here is proprietary software, like he says, is software that is biased against sharing. It is software that is biased against improving. It is software that is biased against helping others. So I believe in what Stallman is talking about. I think technology has a solution, but only if it's free, in the sense that Stallman means. Not free by price, but free to be shared and improved and so forth. This is one of the reasons I enjoy coming here. I mean, I get pumped up at this place. Go on. Yes, sir. Next.
Hi. Well, this is a good place to ask a crazy question, so I'm going to go ahead and do it. At the risk of being a blind...
Well, let me tell you that in 1992, when I published E3I, Ethics, Ecology, Evolution, and Intelligence in the Whole Earth Review, it was read on the seventh floor of CIA, and Sandra Kruzman, the senior woman at CIA, said, "This confirms Steele's place on the lunatic fringe." So you're not lunatic, you're just a little ahead of the others. Go ahead.
Okay, thanks.
pour water in your head. Okay, go on.
Well, I just wanted to... Well, first, on the whole blonde bimbo thing, you might want to watch that a little bit. I mean, you want a following, and 50% of us, the female half?
If you don't understand the humor of it, I specifically don't want your vote.
Thanks, Dad. But I wasn't speaking to the humor of it. I was speaking to the sexism of it.
It's not sexist. It's very intelligent humor, and I'm sorry if we don't agree on that point.
I'm so glad you explained it to me. The other comment I was going to ask about was the one about hookers spreading disease. Mm-hmm. Businessmen spread it, too. You mm-hmm. might want to speak to
Didn't
that.
Didn't you hear me talk about German businessmen?
Oh.
Your 5 minutes are up. Next.
Actually, I had a question, if
well,
that's
then
all right
with
you.
Ask a question instead of being a provocative goddamn censor.
Did I say I was a censor?
Ask the question.
Is it wrong to ask a question you don't agree with?
There are three people, four people standing behind you. You haven't asked a question. You just embarrassed yourself.
Did I?
Yes.
Did I embarrass myself or you?
Would you get rid of her? Okay, fine. We're done. And those that want... Sure, she could speak. You guys that have questions, I'll meet you over here.